China opts to give its economy what it hopes is a kick in the pants.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Here's what new economic stimulus looks like in China. China's premier has just said he wants some serious railway track laid through central and western China, more than 4,000 miles worth. That's like building a track from Miami to Seattle, then back down to San Francisco, all in the year 2014. That and some other new measures announced in the last day are designed to create jobs to push Chinese economic growth back on target. The BBC's John Sudworth joins us from Shanghai. Morning.
Good morning, David.
It sounds like Chinese authorities feel the need for some new economic stimulus.
Yeah, well, it's being called a mini stimulus, but there's some pretty impressive figures in there. $24 billion for new railways out in the less developed central and western regions, a big project to build low-income housing, and then the reduction of some of the tax liabilities on more small and medium-sized companies to try and give them a bit of a break. Is it a sign that the Chinese leaders are panicking? Not yet, I don't think. I think what it is, though, is a clear sign that this rebalancing that everybody's talking about, that transition, is still clearly a long way off.
Yes, because this is stimulus the old-fashioned way, something that economist John Maynard Keynes might approve of. But the idea of getting Chinese people to consume more, to drive growth that way, it sounds like a longer-term plan, shall we say.
Well, that's right, but it is now urgent. Everybody realizes the old Keynesian model of stimulating this economy is no longer sustainable, with the economy having grown in sort of double-digit figures every year for the past 10 years. So they need consumers to start taking up the slack. At the moment, consumption is only something like 30% of the Chinese economy. But I think this announcement today is an admission that although there's a lot of goodwill about making that switch, actually doing it is very difficult indeed.
John Sudworth, BBC in Shanghai, thank you.
It's a pleasure, David.
Now let's do the numbers. We're talking China stimulus there. The key index in Hong Kong went up 0.2%, but stock in the China Railway Construction Corporation closed up 6.9%. The FT 100 in London is currently down 5 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The yield on the U.S. government's 10-year note is up at 2.79% this morning, as forecasters expect to see strength in tomorrow's employment report. More jobs could mean higher interest rates ahead. There are new questions this morning about whether banking giant Citigroup is doing enough to stop fraud and money laundering. The New York Times reports today that federal authorities have launched a criminal investigation into how Citigroup found itself vulnerable to a $400 million fraud at one of its Mexican units. Federal prosecutors in Massachusetts are separately looking into whether the bank was lax about money laundering by clients.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, with tools to help businesses and professionals manage online reviews and control search results. Introducing Reputation Scoring for Businesses. Learn more at Reputation.com. And by Nuance Power PDF, designed for powerful business functionality that's scalable for the entire organization. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised.
One in seven Americans receives food stamps. That is the highest proportion ever. This week, we're exploring some of the reasons why. Today, Chrissy Clark from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk takes a closer look at a multi-billion dollar industry that has a vested interest in keeping the food stamp dollars flowing. Now, you may not know which industry we're talking about here, but your member of Congress probably does.
In the next few months, many low-income Americans will see their food stamp benefits shrink. That's because Congress voted to cut the program by $8 billion earlier this year, after House Republicans gave up their push for even bigger cuts. In the midst of the debate, a coalition of grocery stores and food banks from Ohio sent Congress a letter pointing out that cutting food stamps, quote, doesn't just hurt the poor, it hurts business, too.
The anti-hunger community and corporate America hold hands and support the program together. That really is something that makes members of Congress listen.
Julie Parody ran the food stamp program in the first Obama administration. Before that, she was on the staff of the House Agricultural Committee, where food stamp funding gets hashed out. She says whenever it was being debated, her phone would ring, and on the other end,
grocery stores wanting to know if there was something they could do that would be helpful.
Helpful to keep the food stamp program robust, Parody says. Marcy Kaptur, a House Democrat from Ohio, and incidentally the daughter of a grocer, was pushing to minimize the cuts in the recent food stamp debate. And she told me in that push,
Walmart is a helpful force, as well as many other retail stores. The grocers make a great deal of money.
Walmart confirms it takes in about 18% of U.S. food stamp dollars. That would have amounted to $13 billion last year. Walmart spokesman David Tovar told me the company did not take a position on the recent food stamp cuts, but they were, quote, part of the dialogue.
So we oftentimes will provide useful information about our business, some of the trends we're seeing, you know, how this is impacting customers, because that's really helpful as elected officials consider these kinds of proposals.
But Walmart doesn't just wait for elected officials to ask for this information. Lobbying disclosure forms from the last 3 months of 2013, when debate over food stamps was in full swing, show that Walmart paid in-house lobbyists $1.9 million. The report lists discussions on a broad set of issues, including federal nutrition programs from, quote, the consumer and retail perspective, as well as legislation that determines food stamp funding. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk has put together an interactive thing. I believe the technical term is doohickey, that lets you try your hand at managing a household budget with the money paid by some typical low-wage jobs. You pick which state, how big the family, one or two wage earners. Go to The Secret Life of a Food Stamp at marketplace.org, you know, if you want to explore a public policy issue instead of just candy crushing into the night. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
An alliance between government food stamp programs, nonprofit anti-hunger groups, and for-profit corporations?
How does that work? You pay me to work, I work, you send food, I have to go pick up your food from another place because you ain't paying me enough to get it from here.
I'm David Gura, part three of our series, The Secret Life of a Food Stamp, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.